Saturday Meditation, December 26, 2009. The question this evening has to do with emotions. We recognize love and fear as being sort of polar opposites, and we're wondering if all of the other emotions from jealousy and anger, and doubt and greed and gluttony and so forth are some sort of a mixture of fear with love. And if there is a positive use that we can make of these supposedly negative emotions, is there some benefit that we can get by working with these emotions? What spiritual principles can we use to look at the various emotions that we come across in our daily lives?
We are those of the principle of Ukul. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we come to you this evening. Thank you for calling us to your circle of seeking this evening. It is a privilege to be called, and we are most happy to share our thoughts with you on the subject of emotions, love, and fear. As always, however, before we begin, we would ask of each of you who hears or reads these words that you use your powers of discrimination and discernment in choosing which thoughts of ours you might wish to use as resources for your spiritual journey. We would ask that you follow the path of resonance. And if ideas do not resonate to you, then please leave them behind without a second thought. We would not wish to be a stumbling block to you, but only a resource. We thank you for this consideration. You ask this evening concerning emotions. We find that among your people, emotions are often unappreciated and dishonored by those who would wish to live a spiritually oriented life. From our perspective, however, the emotions that you feel are gifts of enormous worth. Whereas the mind moves from thought to thought, generally governed by logic and the intellect. The heart moves from emotion to emotion, generally with no intellectual component whatsoever. For emotions are those gifts of the heart that stem from the very depths and roots of your consciousness. Thusly, when you are attempting to think about emotions, you are attempting to think about that which has its reality in time-space. For they come from your consciousness rather than your intellect or your mentality. Each person has a different and unique mentality and personality. However, as members of the tribe of humankind on your planet in third density, you share one consciousness. Your jealousy and another's jealousy has the same energy. Your love and another's love of a certain frequency has the same energy. It is emotions rather than thoughts which unite your people. Now, in the roots of consciousness, which this instrument calls the archetypal mind, the emotions can be mapped much as the waterways of your continent. Can be mapped. There are rivers of emotions of various kinds, both those emotions you would call positive, such as joy, bliss, and happiness, and emotions which you would call negative, such as greed, gluttony, and lust. Yet each emotion flows from its most distorted or extreme manifestation through a succession of removals of distortion until at last they all empty into the ocean that you would call the Logos or unconditional love or bliss. This instrument has been attempting to define emotions along some sort of yardstick or ruler, attempting to measure emotions by the ratio of love to fear. This instrument having posited that love and fear are the fundamental opposites of emotion. And we would suggest that while there is an element of truth in this thought, that it attempts to corral and compress the 360 degrees of emotions into a two-dimensional straight line. This attempt in itself is a distortion of the model, shall we say, which we might suggest to be more useful for thinking about emotions. In some ways, emotions can be perceived in terms of complementary colors. those who wish to decorate their walls, for instance, will find a color wheel in which complementary colors are shown and various contrasts are seen that are dynamic opposites. And we find this wheel of color concept to be of use in talking about emotions. However, it is not correct, in our humble opinion, to attempt to attach the significance to the colors of emotion in that. For instance, it is said that someone is feeling blue, and there may well be a relationship betwixt that color or that feeling, which is blueness, and that emotion. However, it is not valid to link feeling blue to the blue ray or the blue energy center any more than a person who is yellow is operating from the yellow ray, or a person who is green with envy is operating from the heart chakra. In this sense, there is no connection betwixt color and the emotions. They cannot be attached to any one chakra or ray. It is, however, a useful exercise when thinking about emotions to think of complementary colors and the track along which a certain kind of emotion might fall, so that one might begin to develop a wheel of emotions. One way to look at emotions is to see where the love is in the emotion. For instance, if one considers the emotion of jealousy, the emotion of love is clearly seen in that the object which has inspired one's jealousy is greatly loved. Therefore, the jealousy has as its heart love, yet tinged by the fear of the loss of that love, the energy of the love becomes quite different than the original free and easy feeling of love. We would suggest that there are complementary emotions, so that one may take radii out from the center of the wheel of emotions, which is unconditional love, that love which this instrument would say was Christ-like, or which carried Christ consciousness. And from that original love, or that sea of bliss in the archetypal mind, there spring forth the natural rays all around the 360 degrees of personhood. Another way to evaluate emotions is to look at the faculty of will, desire, or expectation. the clearest way to approach emotion living day to day would be to remain transparent and unattached to the outcome of one's objects of desire or will or one's expectations. However, it is precisely the inability of the individual within incarnation to remain unattached to outcomes, which creates the bulk of distorted emotional reactions. Thusly, if one loved another purely and without attachment of any kind, and that object of love chose to move into relationship with an other self besides the self, in an unattached entity, this would be only a source of joy, knowing that the other self that was so beloved was doing something that he or she enjoyed. However, it is seldom that entities are unattached in this way. If one looks at the meat of the spiritual life, however, it is clear that it is a blessing that the entity within incarnation is attached to outcomes and has distortions and expectations and desires, because these elements create the potential for feeling emotions and engaging consciousness in new and different ways. Another element which is important to consider when looking at emotions is that faculty which you call judgment. The seeker who feels surface emotions tends to be non-judgmental if the emotions seem positive, but quite judgmental if one's own emotions seem to be from the shadow side of the self and express the darkness within. Now, if one were looking at a color wheel, one would not judge the dark colors as inferior to the lighter colors, but would see that all of the range of colors would be needed to create a pleasing harmony within one's color scheme. One would not shun the use of the notes of brown and gray and black and navy blue, for instance, as opposed to the colors of pastels and the lighter colors in their earth tones, such as the light tan, the light gray, and so forth. All of these colors equally are valued in building an environment which is pleasing to you personally. As the spiritual seeker becomes more mature and we correct this instrument, each experience is another opportunity to work with a surface emotion and to refine or purify that emotion by offering it up as a spontaneous and pure feeling without judgment, without asking the self to be one who feels only the positive emotion. Each emotion starts out in the immature entity as that which is confused and chaotic and has a high degree of static or noise as opposed to signal. Consequently, as a spiritual seeker, you are working each time an emotion arises to feel it without shrinking from it or reaching towards it. The goal being not to do anything with the emotion except to allow it to sink into the consciousness of the present moment. As you give respect and honor to surface emotions, you allow them the spaciousness to begin to filter down past the first levels of impulsivity and self-judgment. And as you allow yourself the space and the time for this emotion to tell its story to you, you are sinking into the roots of your own consciousness and beginning to be able to feel each emotion as a more distinct, pure, and clarified color, shall we say. It is possible, indeed probable, that some sort of ongoing contemplation of the archetypal mind may help the seeker to evaluate and think about the experiences of emotion that he has. Within the glyph of the Tree of Life, for instance, there are various emotions that are linked to the middle pillar, the feminine pillar, and the masculine pillar. It might be interesting to contemplate where the emotions that you experience day by day might fit on that Tree of Life glyph. Similarly, if one has a bent towards astrology, the ins and outs of the various signs and houses are to some a real aid and resource when working with understanding one's emotions. And lastly, as this particular group has done in the past, there is the possibility of gazing at the world of emotion and the nature of consciousness by working with the 22 images of the tarot. As one looks at each concept complex, one may begin to see relationships betwixt various emotions. This is subtle work, my friend. And the nature of consciousness is that of paradox, mystery, and infinity. So that you do not have the comfort which the intellect might offer of finding neat and tidy explanations or orders to the emotions within one's life or within the creation of the infinite one. Rather, emotion, like the rivers and lakes of your planet, is an ever-flowing, ever-changing, ever-evolving water system, shall we say, or system of the circulation of the consciousness of the one creator. You ask what spiritual principles can be used to think about emotion. And we would offer you the principle of unity. You are all one. You do share an instinctual, fundamental, and authentic awareness of the stuff of emotion. This is something that is trustworthy, that you have emotions in common with each other. There is no emotion that you can feel that others have not felt before you and will feel after you. In a way, emotions have more coherence than the workings of the intellect, which would seem to be so much more coherent because of the nature of logic. However, logic can be spun to create sophistic rationales for anything desired, whereas emotions are stubbornly what they are. One may attempt to tamper with an emotion to make it different than it is. Yet it is not in tampering or attempting to adjust emotions that you do not prefer that create a skillful approach to emotion. But rather, it is to the one who trusts each and every emotion enough to give it space and time in which to articulate itself within your awareness, that emotions shall begin to offer you the reward of that feeling of oneself that goes beyond the linear. You are infinite beings. And yet on the surface of the mind, there is a far more pale and watery feeling to the emotions of the day than you are able to experience when you stick with gazing at each and every emotion with respect and a lack of judgment. The one known as Lynn was saying earlier that there were those she met in the course of doing her job and her service to others who called up from within her feelings of real, bright anger. What was she to do with this sudden and impulsive anger? Was she to attempt to squash it or to repress it? Was she to give it so much honor that she expressed that anger in ways that were not of service to others? How was she to handle feeling this sudden, impulsive anger? This occurs time and time again in the course of each and every day for each and every spiritual seeker. And it would seem that there is no useful function for the negative emotions, whereas the positive emotions such as joy and admiration and love of a romantic or friendly nature are feel-good emotions that are hardly ever evaluated or judged. Nevertheless, it is very helpful when working with positive emotions to pay attention to them also, for just like the negative emotions, the surface of a positive emotion is only the beginning of its intensity, its clarity, and its vitality. And it is to the spiritual seeker who focuses upon such surface emotions as joy and allows them to expand and, as we said before, to tell their story around the campfire of the self as it experiences itself, that the gifts of positive emotions shall come. Likewise, when experiencing the seemingly negative or shadow emotions, it is quite useful to behold and allow the awareness of these surface emotions to remain, not pushing them away because they are uncomfortable to behold, not saying, well, this can't be me, I would never be so negative, but rather gazing at this dark color of emotion and asking it to clarify, to refine itself, to become more pure. The one known as Lynn asked, well, what use are negative emotions? How can I use them? And we would suggest that the value of even the darkest seeming emotion is equal to the value of the most seemingly positive emotion, in that it is a valid and honored part of all that there is. You are everything, every emotion. And each emotion has its place in creating of you within incarnation a less and less unbalanced and distorted expression, if you will, of the one creator. For each of you is an expression of the one creator. As we have said through this instrument many times, it is the darker emotions such as anger, that when allowed to become refined and purified, create the grit, the muscle, the determination, the energy of enduring and persevering and winning through to the goals of your incarnation. If you do not have that driving energy that is expressed in anger within you in a more purified and refined state, you do not have the energy to be patient with the self as it is refined in the affinor or the furnace of experience. This instrument was working with a quote from the Bible earlier today that said that the one known as Jesus, the Christ, did not come into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We would suggest that you be as merciful with yourself when working with negative emotions as would the one known as Jesus be. He was not interested in working with those who were free of error. He was interested in working with those who were distorted, who were hurting, who were suffering, who were in the darkness of confusion. Let that climate of complete non-judgment be your working attitude as you allow each emotion its proper place in your consciousness, and as you ask of yourself that you provide a continuing environment within yourself in which honored and respected emotions may gradually be purified and refined. Your goal, then, is not to balance emotions until there is no emotion, but to experience each emotion in ways which allow those emotions to go from being muddy and confused to a place where each emotion is a jewel tone. Gems come in all colors, from black to white and everything in between. And the beauty of each is unique to that particular gem. Your emotions are gem-like. And when you have been able to allow the murk and the mud and the impulsivity gradually to evaporate from the heart and essence of each emotion, you are as one who has dug in the ore to mine those gems of self, which you have in common with all those of your fellow humans. And as those energies within you are purified, there is less and less distortion, more and more balance and less and less of that component of fear, which we began by discussing. For it is indeed a valid observation that the one great original thought is the emotion that is at the heart of every emotion, positive and negative. This is a trustworthy statement as far as we know. Every shade of emotion has its root in love, love unconditional, love unjudging, utter and absolute love. The oftener that you are able at the end of working with emotions to come back to love and to allow that love to overflow all other considerations, the stronger you shall be in being able to do this work of allowing the self to bloom. Each of you is like a flower, and certainly if one looks at each one of these energy bodies, each chakra is like a flower of a certain shape and of a certain potential for becoming more brilliant and more many-petaled and fuller of bloom. So think of working with your emotions as if you were working with the energies of dancing or music or poetry. Allow boundaries to collapse so that you begin to feel the connections between positive and negative emotions. As you become more fearless and flexible in working with balancing each emotion, you are allowing those chakras of your energy body to become more brilliant, more fully petaled, more articulated, and more powerful. And we would conclude this observation concerning emotions with the concept of power. In an entity who is not attempting to seek spiritually or to find out by some way who he is and why he is here, the emotions shall generally remain fairly muddy and unclarified. But there is really no incentive for one who does not realize the gifts that he has. For there is really no incentive for one who does not value the gifts that emotions represent to do the work necessary to begin to refine and purify these authentic and infinitely meaningful feelings that are the rays of your essential beingness as a creature of love. We have mentioned the balancing exercise many times through this instrument, And we refer to it once again briefly, for it is a very useful way to work with emotions. The nature of all that is not the one original thought is to be distorted. And distortion is not a bad word. Distortion is not an insulting word. There is distortion in all manifestation, even the highest and best that you can imagine. If there were no distortion, there would be no creation, for the creation itself in its manifest aspect is a series of nested distortions. Thusly, one is not attempting to remove distortion completely, but rather to allow it to become more coherent, to change stuttering and muddy colors to laser lights and jewels. The work of the balancing exercise is simply to find each trigger which moved you this day from a certain default balance to an unbalanced or distorted reaction, whether it was for positive or negative, so-called. Looking at those things within the self, looking at the process by which one was pulled off center, tells you about yourself. And as you allow those feelings to be viewed again and even to be intensified, and then as you allow the seemingly opposite emotion to come as a complementary color would be seen across the color wheel, you lessen distortion within yourself by encouraging the equal respect given to both the seemingly negative and the seemingly positive. As we said before, this is subtle work, but it is the work that you are here to do in terms of learning about yourself, learning who you are, in beginning to feel an authenticity of being that is more and more profound, so that you are a sturdier warrior of the light than you were before. Every emotion has its place. The surface of emotions is only the beginning of them. We wish you the very best of journeys of exploration as you work with these emotions to learn of each and every essence that makes you who you are. You will find that all emotions, once they have been purified, work in harmony to create of you a human being. The nature of the human is to be ethically oriented and to desire to serve, to love, and to know. Trust your emotions to help you learn these things. And as you relate to others, trust the emotions in them that resonate with your own. in terms of dealing with each entity at the soul level. Before we leave this instrument, we would ask if there is a query or a follow-up to this question. We are those at the pool. Since we seem to have exhausted the queries within this group this evening, then it falls to us to release this connection to this instrument and to this group. We would like to thank you again for calling us to your circle of seeking. It has been a joy, and we are so grateful to each of you for crafting time and space in your very busy lives in order to contemplate the truth together. The sacred space which you have created with your desire and your longing is a stunningly beautiful thing, and we thank you for that also. We leave this instrument and this group in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as the principle of the pool. Adonai, my friends. Adonai Vasu.